Good morning. I missed you by a split second before the commercial break, so thanks for holding over that. Now, you would contend it's not uncommon that a fireball is seen over Ireland. There was another on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's a bit like buses, isn't it? None for ages and then two come along at once in the 1 week. But statistically, on average, we get big reports that's seen from the south coast or the north coast of the country. About once a month, I'd say. And we call this a fireball, anything that's brighter than any star-like object in the night sky. So Venus, is the planet, is normally bright. It's actually disappearing in the morning sky at the moment. But people may have seen it other times of the year. And if it's brighter, that's a fireball. And really, it needs to be as bright as the full moon for any part of it to survive re-entry and hit the ground as a meteorite. So we think this was a very big fireball, potentially a meteorite drop. It's hard to gauge the brightness. So if people want to compare it to the full moon when they're sending in their reports, that'll help us determine whether or not a search is warranted.
So compare it in brightness to the full moon. But what are we talking about here? Is it a rock? Is it sort of an asteroid? Yeah. Could it be space debris?
Yeah, we think most of them are asteroids or bits of asteroids. They're not very big, even though this thing lit up the entire country like day for a second or so. It's probably not much bigger than your fist. Anything, say, the size of a microwave oven and upwards would turn night into day. It's also to do with the speed. The bigger it is, the faster it's going, then
The brighter it's going
so
to burn.
Light and energy. Exactly. So they're actually quite safe. The chance of being hit by them is extremely small. But the last meteorite fall that we actually had was in November 1999 in Ireland, or at least the last one that was found. Statistically, we reckon one or two land on the island every year. But, of course, a lot come in during the day when it's cloudy and dead in the middle of the night when nobody's watching. This one was 6 p.m. of a Thursday night, and lots of people were actually out looking for Starlinks, space stations, other things that we're alerting people to in those lovely, if cold, skies that we've had.
Yeah. Would it be fair to say, David, that it is not uncommon for these things to be happening over our heads? What's more uncommon are the clear skies that we've had over the last few days.
Yeah, clear skies are a rarity. The statistics for Ireland is that 3 out of 4 nights are totally cloudy. So the chance of seeing anything in the sky is something to be welcomed, let alone seeing a fireball at the right time. So as I said, you know, there are probably 2 meteorites. Now, that's fireball that will be as bright as the full moon. I've seen one or two in the past, and I've seen the landscape in front of me being lit up like day. And that would happen from Kerry all the way up to Donegal. So you can imagine the amount of light that's been given out to light up a country, albeit for just a few seconds. So they really are spectacular, and people who saw it were very lucky. If they want to email in a report, we'll be putting it into the next issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine for sure. We got one very lucky reporter who had his camera open in Arklow and actually got a brilliant photo of it showing the star patterns behind it and this meteor streaking through the sky. Could be a front cover photo, that one could be.
Oh, that could be worth for you, Bob, too, as well. So there was another fireball on Wednesday. This was seen in Coppin. I'm not sure is there photographic evidence of it. How often are they reported to you?
Well, if people go on our social media, so go to our website, astronomy.ie, down at the bottom you'll see Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, and there's a doorbell camera footage of the meteor that somebody got, and doors was pointing in the right direction. I've managed to see it happen in real time as it flares up and fizzles out. So we'd expect to see these, as bright as this one, about once a month on average. It'll really depend on the clear skies. They're happening much more often, but that's when you factor in the Irish weather, just remembering what happened last year and in previous years and how many reports we get. We're talking about roughly once a month people end up seeing them. So they're happening all the time. And as I said, 2 of these rocks will land on the island of Ireland. A lot of them we can see 1,000 miles away. They're that bright. So they happen out over the Atlantic Ocean, over the UK. There was actually a meteorite fall, made the front cover of our magazine 3-4 years ago, I think it was. Flew over Ireland and landed just near the border between Wales and England. And they found that particular meteorite. We haven't had one in Irish soil since, as I said, 1999. And when it was found, a collector bought it and were selling bits of it for about 50 times the price of gold. So if they don't kill you when they land near you, you're very lucky.
You're in the money. Now, a lot of people were looking to through the clear skies for the International Space Station this week.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting over the next 12, 24 hours, because there's four astronauts gone up. They're going to be chasing it. Unfortunately, it looks like the cloud is coming back tonight.
Yeah, the International Space Station always flies over for about 2 weeks every 2 months. And we're right in the middle of the season now. There's another 10 days or so to go. So we can predict that, unlike the fireballs. And if people, again, follow our social media, every afternoon we post the time to go out and see it. And we're hoping for this space chase tonight, because they launched a privately, commercially launched a crew of four to join the seven that are already up there. Last night, it was delayed 24 hours. So tonight, they'll dock the day after, tomorrow. So tonight, we could see the two in the sky. The ISS is very big. Would just about fit on a football pitch, to give you an idea of size. The smaller craft, much smaller, so it'll be dimmer. I'm not sure if it'll be in front of or behind the space station, but just look for anything following the same path across the sky and report that, because these space chases are very rare. And you're watching space history in the making. These are the earliest pioneers going into space. And, hopefully one day some of them will be Irish.
Yeah, because Ireland are sending up their own satellite, we are, aren't we? Which kind of our first ever step into space exploration. I think that's student-driven, isn't it?
It was. It's the front cover. I'm looking at it here, of the January issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And it was down to a group led by Professor Lorraine Hanlon in UCD, who took years to develop. But you don't just launch a satellite willy-nilly. There's lots of tests that have to be done. It went up with a group of other satellites. You don't want your one causing a problem and ruining everybody else's years of work. And so a lot of the students got valuable insight into the real space industry. And that's currently heading toward a $1 trillion industry every year. So there's big money involved in space. You know, and I think everybody accepts the future of the human race is in space, whether it be decades, centuries, or millennia. We're going to get up there because everyone's trying so hard. And Ireland's a member of the European Space Agency. Bits of rockets are made in Ireland every day. Thousands of jobs are supported around the country. And it is the future. So they actually build their own satellite and get it launched. And it's working quite successfully. It's a huge feather in their cap. ESAT-1, by the way, is the name of the satellite.
Yeah. Do you think we'll, as Irish, start to gain more influence in the space area? Not just as a geography or as a government or as a republic. We do produce the best of graduates. And more than a few have been involved already, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think people don't realise that Ireland's economy is powered by science. Last time I checked, it was 60% of our GDP is science-based, with all these technology companies we have. And I give talks in schools and theatres all around Ireland, and I tell the kids, you know, here's a photograph of the then Taoiseach Enda Kenny meeting with Elon Musk, who's launching all these Starlink satellites, for instance, has his own space company. A young kid like them, who grew up and became a billionaire in space and other activities. So did Jeff Bezos, both very interested in space when they were kids. He's got his own space company as well. And they've, not astronomers, but industry people are saying that they expect the world's first trillionaire will be a space entrepreneur. So if your kids get interested in space, it's an interest you should foster, because it's a real growth area for the future.
David, we have a caller on the line. Good morning, Kevin. Oh, I think Kevin might be gone. He's not on line one anyway. Can you give me the building blocks by size, please, David, of space? What are we looking at? We're looking at moons, planets, stars, systems, galaxies, universe.
It's funny you should say that, because we have our evening classes, which run online. Anyone in the country can follow them. They're happening actually on Wednesday week. Next Wednesday, we have a bit of a watch for telescopes. The week after that, the last day of the month, you can join in our classes, where we try to explain the whole universe to people who have no scientific background. And this fireball was probably a small hand-sized rock, let's say. And we think the asteroids flying around the solar system occasionally bump into each other. And you can imagine all the rocks that are shattered off a collision like that, because it happens at very high speed. And these rocks mill around the sun in orbit around the sun. They're too small for us to see with telescopes until one day they accidentally run into the Earth and cause these fireballs. So it's actually a good way of getting rocks from space off asteroids on the Earth without sending expensive missions up to get them.
Okay.
Then you go up in size, you hit the moon, a few thousand miles across the Earth, about four times wider than the moon. And the Earth's not the biggest planet or the smallest. Jupiter's the biggest one, about 11 times wider. The sun is about 10 times wider than Jupiter. There are massive stars 100 to 1,000 times wider than the sun. And then we have galaxies like the Milky Way that we're a part of, which are unimaginably large. The fastest thing in the universe is light, and it takes 100,000 years for light to cross our galaxy. And it's one of about a trillion galaxies in the known universe. And that sort of scale, when I was a kid, is what really fascinated me about space. They didn't teach it in school at the time. I read every book in the school library. The internet's great for kids these days. They can find out all these facts with beautiful illustrations and diagrams very quickly as well. And we, you know, we're already the world's most popular astronomy society. We want people to join from all over the country and keep us that way. It's another Irish success story, Astronomy Ireland.
Okay, just to try and get a handle on the size of everything, how long would it take us at our current speed to travel a light year?
Right, well, light is the fastest thing in the universe. So it's about 200,000 miles an hour, or miles per second,
I should say,
or 300,000 kilometers per second.
So a light year is trillions of miles.
Yeah, the moon is about 400,000 kilometers away, so light will get there in just over a second. It takes 8 minutes to get to the sun, and over a year, it travels about 10 million million kilometers, about 6 million million miles, or a million million is typically a trillion.
A trillion, okay.
That's one light year. And the next star nearest the sun is four of those away from us, and then the rest are even further.
And the universe is billions of light years wide.
Yeah, and so when you're looking at the bright stars in the sky, they're typically tens to hundreds of light years away. So some of the huge stars maybe are a few thousand light years away, but most of what you see tens to hundreds of light years away. So you're actually seeing the light from that was made tens to hundreds of years ago.
So you're looking into the past.
Into space, it's really like a time machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Kevin is back on the line. Just an eyewitness on what was seen. You saw something come down by Mahon Point yesterday evening, Kevin.
That's right, yeah. I was driving home and I just saw basically like a fireball or a phosphorus looking thing with a tail on it heading towards our overman. That was about 10 past six. I didn't know anything else was happening, but I think my dash cam would have it on fire, you know.
Well, if it does, please send it in to us. That was probably the same item burning up, David, was it?
It probably was. If it was a few minutes after 6 p.m., that's when everyone reported it. We know that time because we've predicted the Starlink satellites to cross the sky a couple of minutes after 6. And then people who were out watching that saw the fireball as an extra treat. And hopefully Kevin was heading east because that's the direction most people seem to have seen it. We reckon, therefore, it probably landed somewhere in the Irish Sea or over Great Britain, perhaps. It's difficult to tell. This early on, but the people often do think that the object landed nearby. People always say, oh, it landed in the next field or behind some hills. There are actually huge events happening very high in the sky, maybe 100 kilometers up. So they're never anywhere near anybody, unfortunately. They're going to land hundreds of kilometers away, but it does look like they're very local, but they're really actually a much bigger event than our little minds can comprehend.
I was heading towards, let's say, the tunnel, and it was going that direction. So I'd say it landed, obviously not in Mahon, but it definitely landed, I would think, on Ireland.
But that's the optical illusion, because you don't know how high, you don't know how fast, so you don't have any trajectory.
Yeah.
So it could overshoot Ireland in a couple of seconds, possibly.
It did, and there were people in our clusters on the east coast of Ireland who saw it out over the Irish Sea. And they actually have photographs of that as well. But it'd be very interesting to see the dash cam footage, so do send it in to Red FM, but also post it on Astronomy Ireland social media, X or Facebook, Instagram, and, you know, we'll take a look at it. If we know exactly where you were, and there's we can get an exact direction off it. We can actually triangulate. That's what we did in November 1999 when this huge fireball was seen over Ireland. And we had people in Dublin who saw it in the direction of Cork and people in Cork who saw it in the direction of Dublin. And by plotting hundreds of sightings like that, we knew it landed somewhere near the Carlow-Kildare border. And sure enough, a guilty-looking rock was found by a lady out walking a few days later that was tested and shown to be an actual meteorite.
Okay. Did she get to keep that?
She was the lady who sold it to the collector.
All right. Okay.
And he had heard the story, made the BBC and everything else, and he posted an ad in the local newspaper offering up to £20,000 sterling. The rumour had it that the bits would fit into a mug, and she got about £3,000 sterling, but she wanted to remain anonymous, so we don't know the full facts.
Okay.
And there's some question about the legal ownership of it, whether it was, you know, things that fall in Irish soil, whether or not they belong to the Irish state or private individuals. But I don't think anybody really cares as long as they get tested and if there's anything special that the science comes out of.
Yeah, Kevin, will you send whatever footage you can find to us or and to Astronomy Ireland? Thanks for contacting us about your sighting. Let you go, David. One final question, probably the one you hate being asked the most. Do you believe in the moon landings?
Oh, absolutely. The highlight of my career was interviewing Neil Armstrong himself. We also interviewed Buzz Aldrin. But to shake the hand of the first man on another world, I think probably the most famous person in history, you know, especially when we become a spacefaring race. And to know that I actually got to meet him, talk to him, have coffee with him, and shake his hand, I know he went there. Some of the conspiracy theorists that we've talked to them in the past, there's no convincing them otherwise. They make up stories which we can patently prove are false. I've said this on radio, in public. None of them have ever sued me for libel because they would lose. We know one of them is a cinematographer, Bart Sibrel, has spent a fortune on this documentary he's written, and he's a cinematographer, and he knows that when you photograph people on the moon, it's a fraction of a second exposure. You do that at night, you don't get stars in the sky, the exposure's too short, and yet they're saying, oh, there's no stars behind the astronauts on the moon.
Okay.
That proves that it's done on a sound death.
There's a great story, myth, legend, or fact, I don't know, but in the Great Southern Hotel in Killarney, when it was in Irish Rail or CIE's ownership, apparently at the time you'd have doormen dressed, you know, like you do in some of the swankier hotels in Dublin now, and they'd be greeting people and helping people with their luggage, etc. And one night, a guy came out and started smoking a cigar on the steps, and the doorman was looking up, and the guy said, "What are you looking at?" "Oh, Christ," he said, "I'm looking at the moon. You'll never see a better view of the moon than you will from Kerry." And the guy said, apparently, that there is a slightly better one, and put his hand out and said, "I'm Neil Armstrong."
I can well believe it, because I gave a talk in Jim Shatira Theatre down in Tralee just a few months ago. And right outside the theatre is the Armstrong Walk, because Neil Armstrong was in Tralee. At the time, I remember we actually sent a reporter down to cover it for Astronomy Ireland magazine. And Dick Spring was showing him around. And a lot of the astronauts come to Ireland for the golf, would you believe?
They tend to fly in
and fly out. One of them even married the manager of a golf club in Kinsale, Dan Tanney.
Dan Tanney, that's right. I got to go to the next call. Thanks a million. David Moore of Astronomy Ireland.
My pleasure. Any time at all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.